Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden at True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by...
The show brought to you by Rocky Mountain... Well, Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. And I want to give, once again, a special... If you listen to the show Friday, you know we came home from a quick spring break trip to find our whole house flooded. Not our whole house, but a significant portion.
Living room.
Yeah, the living room flooded. And Tim Smith and his partner Dominic, and everything's clean and almost done. You can almost not even tell it happened. If you guys, and they're not paid sponsors, they're just great. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever has something that goes wrong or needs some work done, these guys are amazing. And I tell you what, they get it done. So a shout out to them. Thank you. It was kind of stressful there.
Well, we're not done yet.
No, we're still doing. Okay, so a lot to talk about today. We're hopeful that Stephanie Luck, Representative Stephanie Luck from Penrose.
One of the few good ones in the legislature, these, one of the true MAGA conservatives.
That's right. We'll be calling in. You guys may have known that the House is passing, I think the Senate will pass it too, again, some gun grabbing legislation. I mean, they're out of control there. They used a little known rule, never before used rule
to stop the filibusters.
So now not only does a minority, I mean, one of the reason they have that is, okay, at least if you're the minority, you know, you can't win with the Democrats in charge there, but at least you could speak out, right? Well, they eliminated that as well. Then they made them, they all were wearing little stickers that said, don't silence the minority. And they made him take that off. It's like, seriously?
Don't take it off. Make him take it off.
I mean, it's like, talk about, I think some of them did not. But anyway, so Stephanie Luck is fighting the good fight down there. We could talk about it maybe later, even if she can't call in, because she's on the floor. So she's actually doing stuff. Just about what happens when you have such total control. But wanted to start talking about Ron DeSantis. An interesting thing happened over the weekend. I mean, everybody was loving Ron DeSantis. We love him.
This is a while back.
Well, but I mean, there was his campaign was strong. He's on his book tour, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, in the past several days, it started kind of, and I don't believe for a second that this happens organically. Okay. So I'm just
nothing
wondering, right, who's behind this? But all of a sudden, all the major news outlets and the political, like The Hill, Politico, are like, oh, Ron DeSantis fumbling and stumbling. And Ron DeSantis
polls
down
are very
the polls.
Bad.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Maybe you should wait to 2028.
What if they had a big story saying DeSantis donors are starting to second guess whether they should be donated to him? And I'm kind of like, and I don't really know. So feel free to weigh in either by calling us 888-627-6008 or going ahead and unmuting yourself if you're on Zoom or going ahead and typing in the chat line. But something I think is going on there, don't you?
Well, yeah, obviously something is going on. And I think it's pretty obvious. What people saw before was, well, this is Trump without the baggage. Mm-hmm. But we're discovering now it's Jeb Bush without the baggage we're really getting. How did that work out? And so we've seen things like Jeb Bush came on and said, I think Ron DeSantis did a great job in Florida. And then he came back. That wasn't an endorsement. No, I'm not endorsing him. No, I'm just saying some nice stuff. Oh, no. And Soros kind of, yeah, I think he'd be good.
Right. Yeah.
But now we're really getting that who is his campaign? Who is really behind Ron DeSantis? And they're starting to call him Ron DeCaucus, but
well, here we have a soundbite. So Mark Simone, who's a GOP political pundit, was talking on one of the shows on Fox. And they were talking about DeSantis, and he kind of spilled the beans, and which is very telling on who basically is handling DeSantis. If we could please play the Simone bite, Thomas. You there? There we go.
Who's running his campaign?
The Bushes are all tangled up with him. Bush
that can raise him $1 billion and get him all kinds of money.
Jeb Bush.
Yeah, they're great.
Karl Rove is involved.
I assume he'll be the coach on the field. I think he is.
But do you know that he's been advising DeSantis?
He's been advising him. That's why DeSantis has been getting a little better and better every week. But
Karl's a pretty smart fellow.
They're all very smart. You saw what they did for Jeb Bush. Yeah. It works in normal times. I don't think they're ready for Donald Trump.
See, and that's exactly it. And you got to wonder, to me, what's going on. And this is from Sandra. All the Bushes are as bad as the Clintons and the Obamas. Exactly.
They're all one the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Somehow somebody in the media or whatever who feeds the media decided for whatever reason, and I don't know what that reason would be, but it's time to kind of attack DeSantis a little bit. And
well, I don't know. Show their hand. Maybe they're figuring, okay, let's bring the Bushes out from the bushes. And let's just face up that we're working together. And I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know anybody, a few rhinos, but if you like DeSantis, you're not a rhino normally.
Right. Yeah. You're not a Jeb Bush fan.
Yeah. You're not a Jeb Bush fan. All of a sudden behind the mask, it's Jeb Bush.
And I think that what's interesting is people like us and you guys, right, who read some of the, like the conservative treehouse and some of those those blog posts where they've been pointing out his donors, right? Which is very suspicious.
And consultants.
And they're all uniparty kind of people, right?
Globalists.
Exactly. Globalist ties.
And Griffin.
Right. Ties to the
Citadel Capital.
Right. Ties to the World Economic Forum, all of that, right? But if you were just the average person out there floating around, you probably weren't. You're like, well, I like Ron DeSantis, right? Like you said, he's Trump without the baggage. I talked to somebody the other day who was a huge Trump supporter, and she's like, well, I'm not so sure. I think DeSantis. But on the other hand, though, I think she was assuming that DeSantis was still like Trump. And then all of a sudden it's coming out that no, I mean, all of the, and it, like you said, they made it public. They're starting talking about the donors are questioning maybe he should wait. And I don't know if they are or not, but if you're Ron DeSantis, that'd be kind of disconcerting. You get up Sunday morning, you're like Googling, you're like, what? My donors say I should get out of the race. I mean, you know, that's going to be a little disconcerting. He was used to reading, oh, they love him. They hate Trump. DeSantis is, you know, Trump is humiliating himself by tackling DeSantis.
Right.
But I think DeSantis made a massive blunder. If I were DeSantis, when he criticized, when he made that kind of snarky comment about Donald Trump, and I don't know what's involved in paying hush money to porn stars. It's like, you know, that just came out weird. And I think it was a mistake because I think
it's like Marco Rubio talking about hands and genitalia. So it just demeaned him.
Right. And that's what Trump does, right? If you ignore him, you look like you're weak and you're scared. If you go after him,
you look petty, small.
Yeah, you look exactly. And you take away the advantage that, that you're taking the higher road, right? All of a sudden you're down in kind of in the wrestling in the mud with him, which is he's brilliant at that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a strategy. I think it's just his personality. But at any rate, so the Ron DeSantis thing is starting, I don't want to say to unravel, but.
Well, he's gotten bad polls. Some show him 24 points as much as 24. There was one which kind of shows you how the uniparty works. Axios reported that a Republican polling group had given them, and Axios is very left-wing, polling data in New Hampshire and Iowa showing Ron DeSantis doing better than Trump. I mean, kind of like, whoa, you know, okay, we'll issue this through Axios. I
mean, yeah, and I think, I don't know, Chuck and I differ in this a little bit in that I kind of feel for Ron DeSantis because let's say I'm the governor of Florida and I'm doing all this stuff and everybody loves me, right? Well, the Democrats hate me, but they're supposed to in his world. And so I'm like a conservative, everybody loves me. And then a bunch of billionaires come along who hate Trump and they want anybody but Trump, but they don't want Pence because he can't win. They don't want Pompeo. They don't want Nikki Haley. They want somebody who might actually be able to win. And they're like, Ron, we're going to give you $1 billion to
but
run.
You got to run now. We can't have Trump taking over the party and everything else. So you got to run now. And if it doesn't work out, you know,
the trash bin. Well, and here's a problem DeSantis has is he can't run for president while he's governor, right now under the law in Florida.
Right.
So either he's got to have to convince them to change the law, which looks sleazy, right?
But it's like, no problem.
I know, but I mean, to me, it looks kind of, it's like either you think you're going to win or you don't. It's like kind of keeping your job before you.
Well, lots of other politicians in Lyndon Johnson did the same
thing. That's true. And I mean, so it seems like if he wants a legislature to do that, they might. But I know I've read some tweets and stuff from people in Florida who said, wait, we love you. We need you here in Florida. Let Trump go take care of the country. You take care of Florida. And then in 4 years, you can take care of the country, right? They're like, why are you doing this? And so he's got a little bit, but I can understand if you're him, you're going to be like, no, billionaires, can you just come back in 4 years? I mean, you know.
Well, but the problem he had is he turned out from being a beloved person, at least right. in Republican circles, is going to take, you know, they're going to aim all their really awful stuff at Trump. He could sit back. If Trump won, fine. He's the heir apparent, and he and Trump get along great, you know. Or if Trump loses, great. He's the one that can do it in 4. Now, 4 years in politics is like a couple of centuries.
Right.
But still, I think rather than getting in the mud and not very successfully, I mean,
right. know,
Ted Cruz got in the mud. And in the end, I mean, he just humiliated himself.
Right. Well, and that's what, I mean, even the Simone was saying, he's like, DeSantis does great as governor, but apparently he's been having a lot of trouble and on these and the national stuff, right? I don't know if he just thought that everybody would just ask him about his book and he could get a lot of good publicity. Some of the comments, this is from Jacob. I listen to Simone every morning, 8 to 10, 710 WOR, and even, oh, good for even call in. From Charlene. Yeah, Ellis is pushing the Axios poll. Charlene says she just discovered. Am I saying his name right? Is it Mark Simon or Mark Simone?
Simone.
Okay. And then from Sandra. But
Simone says, Jacob says, Lincoln Project.
But LBJ was a Democrat. According to Sandra, they get away with everything. And then Leo, if DeSantis was really smart, he would be gearing up for the 2028 DeSantis polis battle. Absolutely. That's what I think, too. I think that, you know, but again, what do? You got the billionaires now. And I'm sure they've said to him, if you won't do it, we're going to find somebody who is.
We got to oppose him.
Yeah, exactly.
Your time will have passed.
Right. And then, so, I mean, I don't really envy him. I think he's foolish, though, and I think he won't win, and I think he won't beat Trump. And I think the longer that this drags on, the more apparent, I think there are a billion Republicans and America First people out there saying, why not just wait? Why are you doing this, right? Well, and it's hard to say, well, I need to help the country. It's like, no, you're just doing this solely for yourself, right?
Yeah, so, and all politicians, let's face it, do it solely for themselves. Right. But a few of them, you know, and just a little part of them kind of want to help the country.
But it eliminates him being able to say that, right? Because I think it's not clear that Trump would lose, right? You can't say, I got to run because we don't want Biden to get reelected. No,
right now, Biden is behind Trump in a lot of the polls.
Right, right. So anyway, that's what's interesting. And I kind of wonder, again, because I don't believe anything is organic anymore. I kind of wonder what's going on behind the scenes that made people, in other words, I don't know if the donors started talking to, DeSantis donors started talking to people, if that's real. I don't know if Trump people started saying, oh, have you heard the DeSantis donors are backing? I mean, you know, I don't know, but something's going on.
And assuming the polls are not honest, but all of a sudden, DeSantis is running way behind Trump in a lot of the national polls, which was not good. You want him kind of closing in.
Right.
And, you know, behind, but still, you know, he's going to be great. Not so much.
Right.
I mean, not so much. And now, this most recent one, I mean, yes, most people don't follow this day to day like all of us do, but still it's getting out there that, you know, not so great. Not Trump without the baggage, but his own baggage.
But his own baggage.
Which is the Bushes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of, if you were like, again, exactly as you said, Chuck, if you're like a Nikki Haley supporter, right, you're not really a Ron DeSantis supporter, mm-hmm. right? And so the Ron DeSantis supporters and the Trump supporters are pretty much the same people. And so Nikki Haley could maybe get away with having Bush people advisor. But if you're an America First, or you're trying to attract that crowd, and that's your support group, to be saying that, you know,
Karl Rove is the coach on the field.
The field and Jeb Bush and George Soros support you. And this is from Charlene. Why do I find Trump's nicknames funny? You know what, Charlene? He has
Ron Meatball.
He has this ability to, like most things, it's kind of, you immediately understand what he's talking about, right? You don't say, how do you get that? It's like he has the nicknames, and you know, and there's some truth to them, so which makes them funny. This from Leo. Yes, Julie, Trump runs a scorched earth policy. They should stay away from the primaries. I'm from Jacob. Rove ran the Mitt Romney campaign, and Romney lost. Rove no, never
he
recovered.
Didn't, he didn't run the
he didn't?
Romney, no. That was, God, I can't think of his name, but no, he did not run the Mitt Romney campaign. Who's that guy? Dandy Hair. I can't remember.
Okay. Oh, well. Whose campaign did Rove? He was the Bush's guy?
Yeah.
Bush okay. Guy. And then Jacob says it's because Rove and Romney are the same losers. And from Jacob, Trump is a New Yorker. Yeah, I mean, Trump just runs, and it's hard to run against him. And that's exactly what Simone was saying. It'd be, you know, on one hand, you'd think, okay, you know, Karl Rove was, you know, maybe a good choice. He's seasoned. He's got experience. He knows people. And like you said, in normal times, but he's like, Trump's not normal. and these are not in his campaign or not normal times. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I got a feeling Ron DeSantis is going to. How would that work in the legislature? They would have to change that law. I mean, I don't know when the Florida legislature is in session, though. I don't know. But I mean, for how long? Like in Colorado at the end of May.
I don't. It's not a year round one. So I think
time matters.
Already in there. He can do it at the very last second, you know, with enough maneuvering. So it hasn't got a lot of debate to it, but it's still, if he doesn't do it this year, it means he's got a lot of problems. He'd have to wait another whole year.
Well, he would have. Well, then you'd have to decide, do I want to run or do I want to be governor?
No, you can wait till late.
You can?
Yeah, some people have.
To declare, you mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That starts getting, well, but that then I think that starts raising
next
its
year,
own problems.
Next year, next January, it really would be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it just starts looking
but
kind
it could
of.
Do it.
But I mean, in the meantime, Trump is gaining momentum. Trump keeps being the candidate. And Trump is Trump, right? So, and, you know, the way the Democrats are going, things are only going to get worse. We're not going to be able to use gas stoves. We're not going to be able to use air conditioners. We're not going to be able to use leaf blowers. I mean, all kinds of little things that affect people.
But luckily, gender-affirming care is working out in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard this. That there was that, again, a horrible shooting at a Christian school in Nashville. Three kids killed, three, I guess, staff members, teachers killed. So six people killed altogether. Police then shot the person with the gun. On the internet, there was a lot of, on Twitter and things and social media, a lot of comments on, you know, they knew it was a 28-year-old person. They had the car. Apparently, they raided the home. So they clearly knew who it was, but they weren't releasing the name. There was a lot of speculation that it wasn't going to fit their narrative. I will say this, having been a reporter for so long, actually, a lot of times it does take you find the name out. I mean, it gets leaked, but it takes a while.
It doesn't take a while if it's a white Caucasian male.
But
it doesn't take very long at all. In fact, it takes no time.
Right. But I think, though, I'm just going to say that there are plenty of conspiracy theories out there that are true. This one, I'm not so sure. I've just seen plenty of cases where for legitimate law enforcement reasons, they don't release the name right away. However, however, it now turns out that it was according to NBC, that the shooter, Audrey Hale, is the person's name, is a biological female who uses. No. This is according to NBC.
Oh,
okay. Is a biological female who uses male pronouns. And so, now there's speculation that this will now immediately, you know, drop from sight, kind of like Paul Pelosi, that doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this person was disturbed and it didn't really help. I mean, she is 28 years old and this is an elementary school.
Well, yeah. There's something funny about that. Cause they said that the shooter was a former student, but the school ends at sixth grade. So there's a lot. And again, you know, conspiracy theories aside, having been a reporter for so long, there is a lot of confusing information that comes out. But I think it's been a long time. I mean, if they're 28 and they were in sixth grade, that's, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd like the announcement given out by the scientific community that the way we're going, there will be no conspiracies left by 2025 because all the conspiracies are being proved true and we'll be out of conspiracy.
That was a meme. Everything will have been proven to be true. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. I don't, I expect it'll get buried, right? I mean, again, the left, if it doesn't fit their narrative, they just drop. I mean, they'll shout about gun control and assault weapons things like that for a few days, if that. Even and then all of a sudden they'll move on, which is what they always do. If the shooter, like you said, if the shooter's not a clear MAGA supporting, Trump supporting, January 6th, with tons of social media posts, they don't pay any attention. Is somebody wanting to talk there? Do I hear somebody?
Yeah, I guess Jacob.
Okay, hey, Jacob.
Over the weekend, I was talking to a buddy of mine that's in apartments have to get cleared out because the owner died, and he was down in Louisiana, and he told me that they were clearing out the lady who was killed in Mexico for the tummy tuck.
Oh.
But she had a rap sheet for about 6 miles, and her real job was to bring drugs back to America. She didn't go down for a tummy tuck.
Yeah. Well, she might have.
Yeah, but they were putting something in that tuck.
Yeah,
But I see the news never reported or retracted, you know, that she was an innocent bystander. She was not.
Oh, no. You know, and she I read something not. Similar, too. They all had lengthy rap sheets, and that was a suspicion that this was some sort of drug deal, which I thought was, yeah. I mean, I kind of thought that weirdly, too. It's like, when you looked at the video, right, the bad guys came up and started talking to them, and I'm like, well, they didn't kidnap. I mean, it wasn't like they grabbed them off. They were like tourists walking down the street, and these people grabbed them. It was kind of, there was something fishy about that from the beginning, so.
They think that she owed them a lot of money.
Well, you know, but you're right. But that's the thing. I mean, there was a time many, many years ago when the media would have corrected stuff, or even better yet, they would have waited, you know, but instead they don't. They get to take a situation. I mean, there's still people talking about Kyle Rittenhouse driving across state lines, buying a gun and
shooting innocent people in a thing.
And you still hear the president talking about 5 police officers killed on January 6th, right?
Yeah.
They just don't care, right? They put it out there. They don't care if it's true or not. They keep repeating it. And, you know, even when it's proven to be totally wrong, they still keep repeating it.
It's a violent insurrection.
Yeah.
Well, are the parents of the cop that supposedly died from a gunshot wound or whatever at J6 when it turned out that he had a stroke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think the parents are ever going to give back the award that he got?
No. They're saying, can't you leave this alone?
Right.
We have to relive this all the time by reminding us he didn't die that day. He died the following day of a heart attack. Oh, okay. Well, you know, not that the same.
Not to be a cynic, but I imagine there are probably different death benefits involved if you die in the line of
duty. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, no, they're not ever going to. I think it may not be interviewed very much anymore, but yeah. Well, not to be cynical, Jacob, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I do. Oh, one last thing. I do listen to Mark Simone in the morning from 8 to 10. It's a great show.
Okay.
And you hear what's going on in New York and then how it spreads out to the rest of the country.
That's a scary thought.
Where does he sit on the continuum of Republican?
Yeah, where would you put him?
Oh, as far as Trump, he's all behind Trump.
Okay.
And as far as I would say, he's left. He's right of center. He's right of center.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. And thank you for the tip on it. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Bye. All right. Thank you. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, because one of the things we like to try to do in this show is, like we say, sort of truth straight up. Right. And I've been watching with interest all of this talk about banning TikTok. Now, I happen to know more than I would like to know about TikTok because
our son is owned by TikTok.
Rav, like, listens to it constantly.
Gets his golf tips off of it. Gets his geopolitical views off of it. Gets everything of it.
Fart sounds that you could put on an endless loop. Uh-huh. I mean, if you were to imagine a 12-year-old boy and the kind of stuff that you would find on TikTok, that's what he listens to. There's other bad stuff when we talk about that. I mean, and that's a whole other kind of thing too. It's very difficult to parent in these social media days. But so I know
we don't.
So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how on earth are they going to ban TikTok? It's like, what are you going to, I mean, first of all, are you going to like zap? You know, it's like banning the internet. I mean, it's kind of hard to do, right? Are you going to make people take it off of their phones? Are they going to go around to every 12-year-old and every 23-year-old and say, hey, give me your phone and then hit delete?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Because I guarantee you every 12-year-old or 23-year-old will meet and go boop, 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 and it'll be right back, right? There are workarounds on that. So I was like, why are we even wasting time on this, right? We've got China.
Well,
like,
I remember when Trump said, you know, TikTok must sell to a U.S., you know, company and so forth, and that died out, and I don't know what happened to that. at first thought, well, you know, we don't want the Chinese controlling us. No, we want the establishment controlling us.
So, and that's the thing, because I've been confused as to why all of this flurry of stuff. I mean, it's too big right now. Some things are just too big. You know, it'd be like trying to, well, you just couldn't, like, it's too big to be banned. There are too many people who use it, too many people making money on it. So I was like, why are they even trying this? And then it occurred to me, when you listen to the thing, they only want, they being the deep state, the uniparty, they only want social media in this country.
That they control. That they can call up the head CEO. Of legal counsel and say, you know, get this off of there.
Right.
They don't want you getting stuff from the commies when you can get it from our own very own globalists here in the USA.
That's we don't want the Chinese interfering with our election. No. We don't need to interfere with our election.
Yes.
You know, right. And it occurred to me, it's like, that's what's going on here, right? That the only reason they want to ban TikTok is because they can't control it. Now, the next step will be to try to control China, but that's a little bit harder,
yes,
right?
Yes, because the Chinese want to ban it.
That China's doing. China's buying farmland next to military installations, and that's okay. But we don't want a 12-year-old listening
getting
to South Park
jokes from TikTok,
right? I'm like, and so it was interesting. So this Sunday there was a discussion on it, and Maria Bartiromo, who usually is pretty smart, I think, she's interviewing Matt Taibbi, and she's, you know, and we'll play that soundbite here in a few seconds. But she's just talking about, well, but it's a foreign adversary. It's like, of all the things our foreign adversaries are doing, TikTok, I got to say, I mean, is
not like our brave allies in Ukraine.
Right, who are in vogue and well-established things. But so Senator Mark Warner from the intelligence community,
which is a total establishment hack group the Democrats have controlled, and they control the Republicans on it, including Marco Rubio.
But disinformation, Russia hoax, right?
They perpetuated that. They said, oh, the Russia hoax, absolutely true. After 2 years of study, 5 years of study, it's true.
But it's true. And he's explaining why we absolutely have to get rid of TikTok. So if we could please play the Warner soundbite.
Today, TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, ByteDance, and by Chinese law, that company has to be willing to turn over data to the Communist Party, or, and one of my bigger fears, we got 150 million Americans on TikTok, average of about 90 minutes a day, and how that channel could be used for propaganda purposes or mis- or disinformation advocated by the Communist Party.
Are you kidding? I'm upset. I mean, Chuck, it is appalling to Mark Warner that a government could force a social media company
to give our data. It's by law. We don't have that law. We do it by coercion.
Coercion. That's right. Or that a government could use social media to put out disinformation.
Oh my
god! Propaganda. Like COVID.
Terrible. Yeah, the COVID information, the Russian hoax, or. God, the insurrection. The vaccine. God, there's so many of them.
It's like ridiculous to even say. It's like, you're kidding me, right? It's like, we are appalled that a government could force a social media company to turn over data. It's like, we need our FBI agents directly involved.
Yeah.
It's like, if they're turning it over to the Chinese, then we don't have access to it.
They may get something that we haven't approved. I mean.
That's right. And well, how are we? Well, not only that, but if everybody keeps using TikTok, it's going to be much harder for us to.
Facebook. How's Facebook supposed to compete?
Yeah, we control Facebook. I think they still secretly control much of Twitter. We control Google.
Yeah.
We're controlling AI. We're going to control all of this. We can't have the Chinese.
No. This. People get confused.
Yeah.
They got to get one message from their big brother here.
Exactly.
No Chinese big brothers.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, though. Stephanie Luck is on the floor, so we're going to have to take her right away. We'll go back to this in a second. Representative Stephanie Luck, hey, thank you.
Hey, Stephanie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So how's the battle going down there?
it's alive and well, to be sure.
But let me have you run by, because I know you made a great speech over the weekend. And rather than me kind of explain it convolutedly, the Democrats are trying to ram through and are probably going to succeed gun grabbing legislation. And you guys are trying to fight it. Why don't you explain some of the weird maneuvering
parliamentarian tactics?
And just the complete silencing of the minority party that's been going on down there at the Colorado State Capitol.
Absolutely. So a little bit of background for your listeners. Colorado has a a citizen legislature, so we only meet 120 days maximum in any given year. And many people would think that we would only cover a handful of bills or maybe up to 100, but we really look at 500, 600, 700 pieces of business, legislative business, in that 120 days. And that's 120 consecutive days. That includes weekends. And so we really normally are only in the building about 80 to 85 days. The majority obviously controls this calendar, controls the schedule, controls the speed and the pace of what we look at. And on Friday, they scheduled three egregious gun bills, one of which could, if implemented fully, could decimate the firearms industry, not just in Colorado, but across the United States because of its long arm provision. But they scheduled all three of them to be heard on Friday afternoon, along with some other business, and including a committee hearing. Normally, in the building, when you have such a controversial bill, the majority only looks at it, at those bills one at a time. So to stack all three on one Friday afternoon is out of the ordinary. We began to fight that bill. We continued to fight that bill. We walked in, at least I will say, I walked in believing that there was no wiggle room, that there wasn't going to be any opportunity for amending the bill in any way that might better serve the people of Colorado. And so my intention was to just make principled arguments as to why this is bad policy, to help people understand that the timeless truths that undergird the Second Amendment, the right to self-preservation, the right to defend oneself and to provide for oneself through hunting and other mechanisms, should not just be overturned on a whim. It shouldn't be overturned at all, but it definitely shouldn't be on a whim. And yet the bill sponsors into the evening decided that they were interested in negotiating. And so we started conversations, negotiations. Unfortunately, those in the firearm industry became at an impasse with those in the anti-gun lobby. And so those negotiations broke down. We adjourned for the day and we came back on Saturday. Negotiations picked up again on Saturday. And it was less than fruitful, those negotiations. And so there were a core of us who decided, you know, we weren't interested in taking the very limited watered down amendments that were being offered, and that we would just continue to fight, because in this building, it has been a time-honored truth that the majority has its way, but the minority gets its say. And so we wanted to continue to build the case that we had worked weeks to prepare against these bills, from the natural law to the origins of the Second Amendment to our founding era history and practices, all the way up to modern day statistical data that dispels the notion that gun violence is what is framed to be here. And just for your listeners' understanding, yes, there are about 45,000 instances of gun deaths every year, but you compare that to the upwards of 2.5 million instances where people have defended themselves with a gun, over 90% of them being just simply showing that they have a gun. And it's really not a contest when you talk about preserving life. And so anyways, we wanted to continue to make our case and to make it strong and build the record, build it for future court hearings and other such things. And we walked back on the floor after having a caucus meeting and were told that Rule 14 was going to be employed. And that rule is a rule to limit debate. It's a rule to silence the minority. And so they did it on two gun bills on Saturday. On Sunday, we debated again those two gun bills on what we call third reading, which is when we actually push the button and vote on the final record. We gave them an opportunity during third reading through a procedural mechanism to change their minds in hopes that maybe they had just acted out of emotion or maybe, you know, heat of passion the night before in breaking a tradition and an understanding of allowing the minority to speak until they are done speaking. Unfortunately, they did not take that option. They did not allow us to go back and return to debate and continue to lay out our case. Instead, they doubled down on it and again employed Rule 14 on another gun bill. So it is one of those situations here where we are operating in the historic, but we are operating in the historic in a grievous way. The fact that people would be okay with having a super majority, knowing that their policies are going to pass however they want them to pass, and yet silencing the voice of the minority. Our founders understood that, and that is why they put protections, procedural and otherwise, against the tyranny of the majority, because they understood that the rights of the minority always need to be respected.
Well, and just and to clarify too, it's my understanding that this Rule 14, which basically forced you guys to be silent, limited to an hour, it's never been used before, right? That anyone can remember.
That is my understanding as well. Yes.
So
it is what we called here the nuclear option prior to this.
Okay. And my guess would be, Stephanie, what do you think? They're going to be like, well, that worked well. Yeah. Why on earth do we have to listen to those pesky
why do you need to be down there at all?
Yeah. I mean, I would guess they're going to use it again and again and again, yeah, right? Yeah. Anytime you guys try to build a case, to make an argument, because I want people to understand something. It's not just you talking there in a vacuum. I mean, people are there listening. People are recording it. This information could get reported. So it's not just they want to silence you. They want to silence your views from being heard and experienced and maybe considered by other people, right? I mean, it shuts it off completely down. It's censorship at its worst, I think.
It is, and it's not just this one-off. People need to understand that there has been a trend in this direction. For instance, the use of the special orders calendar. Instead of going off of the calendar that is publicly posted that people out in the public can see and engage with and say, I want to go down there and I want to listen to that, or I want to go and lobby my representative on that. And so I check the calendar and I drive to Denver if I live, you know, outside of the metro area. And then you find, oh, special orders, which means that we're not doing the calendar that was publicly posted. We're doing a separate calendar. That is another form of censorship. And I could give you other examples, but the reality is that, yeah, they will definitely continue to employ this unless the people push back. And people of all political persuasions should want to push back. If you've ever been in the minority and not had your voice heard, you should want to push back. There should be emails. There should be phone calls.
There should be all
sorts of press and social media, and people should come down here and support us. Because regardless of how you stand on the Second Amendment, if people cannot speak, I represent over 80,000 people. My people's voices were not heard as a result of this. We can't let this stand. And if they do continue to employ it, you're absolutely right, Chuck. Why bother? We're worse than window dressing down here at a 46-19 margin.
Well, and I think, and you guys had stickers, like don't silence a minority. They made you take the stickers off too. I mean, it's just like, like you said, they're winning. They're going to win. And it's just, it seems to violate everything that.
Well, it's clear that they don't think they'll ever be in the minority.
Yeah.
And because they really control the election system and therefore how, you know, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. So they feel pretty confident that as long as they can count the votes, that they will never be out of power.
Well, and I will say two things. First, with respect to the sticker, it's a standing rule, and I think it's a good rule that you can't wear certain statements like that. And it's applied equally because there were some in the majority party who wore some anti-gun shirts and had to remove those shirts. And so I'm not particularly concerned about that one, but I will say with respect to the motivation, it seems as if they see us as obstructionists. They see us as the, it seems, right? Reading some of the remarks that they've made to the press and other comments that have been made, it's as if we are the annoying little sister, right, that is patronized and patted on the head and put up with for just a small time, but not actually heard, not actually considered, not actually valued. And that is the worst place to be, especially when you're talking about leaders. We are 65 individuals who lead this state. We represent every person in this state corporately. And if we can't figure out a way to hear each other, to come together, to understand one another, to find common ground, to solve these problems in that room with 65 people who have marketed themselves as being problem solvers and lovers of people and desires of building good community and a healthy state, if we can't do it, what hope do we have of seeing the 6 million people in Colorado come together and do that? And so there are so many deep issues at play here, which is why we need as many people as possible to respond to this and respond respectfully and respond firmly and say this will not be tolerated for you to silence the voice of the minority under any and any all circumstances, right?
Right.
For you to do that is wholly unacceptable in a constitutional republic. And for those people who have run to support on the platform of defending minority rights, right? A lot of the majority talks about how we need to resolve the problems of the oppressors of the past. Well, they very well need to understand that they are on the brink of becoming the oppressors of the present.
Right. And I would say they passed the brink.
How does the sort of weak sisters there, including Minority Leader Mike Lynch, how's he? Because he's very much kind of like us. We've got to cooperate.
We got to
do whatever the Democrats want us to do.
Well, I will say that the caucus has united around this, and even today, what should have, in normal instances, taken about an hour to do, we got off the floor, I'd say about 2:15-ish from a 10 o'clock start. And so we're having every bill read at length. We're trying to speak to every bill. Even people who are supportive of bills are speaking in every instance, because the idea is, if you let us speak when we wanted to speak, if you let us have the fullness of our case, it might have upset your calendar for a little bit, but we would have been done and we would have been satisfied. Now we're going to speak on everything we possibly can speak on.
Good
because
for you.
You need to understand that we want to and have a right to be heard.
Right. Well, you're elected, right? Like you said, you were elected. That you have every much right to speak for your constituents as a Democrat has to speak for his or her constituent. Because I know, Stephanie, you're really busy. So just sort of a final question, and that is, what can people do? How can they help support you? What would you like people to do?
So really, if people can contact all of the House Republicans and even the House Senators, get them into the fight and just continue to encourage them in the work that they're doing and standing against the tyranny of the majority and to speak into the majority. I will say that there was one Democrat representative, Representative Martinez. He did not vote to silence us, but all of the other ones that were present, I think there were some that were excused.
Democratic support.
To email them to... We had one. We had Representative Martinez actively support us. Others were excused, so I don't know how they would have voted. But I would say absolutely contact every Democrat legislator, every Democrat in the House, and let them know through emails and text messages and phone calls and what have you that this is not acceptable. And again, please be winsome. Please be honorable in your communications. Don't be attacking and other such things, but let it be known that if we lose the vestige of free speech in a representative body, we have lost ourselves. We have lost our moorings entirely. We are no longer the nation that we were founded to be. Help them to appreciate the significance of the decision that they made so that they will turn course and that they will commit to never doing that again. Because if we don't, you're absolutely right. If power shift or what have you, this becomes common practice. And those voices that have value, right? They have value on any side of the political, they will be silenced, and we will be left as a weaker and lesser people.
Yeah.
Well, but really,
the other thing is just hand come down and sit in the gallery, walk the halls, talk to people face to face, and let them know that you want everyone's voice to be heard. That also will be very helpful.
Well, Stephanie, I know it's not easy, but keep up the good fight.
Right, we do support you guys out here, just so you know. We don't envy you, but we appreciate you and support you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, all right, thank you.
There was Representative Stephanie.
Stephanie left from Penrose. Yeah, now who's got to go back in there? Yeah, I mean, and what she says is really true. I mean, that's like she said, the majority gets its way, but the minority has its say. I mean, that's sort of the foundation
all the truths, like, you don't use prosecution to go against your political opponent. You don't say five police officers died on January 6th when none did. I mean, none of the norms that have been part of the country have the Democrats have abandoned them all, and they intend to keep on abandoning them.
Right, exactly. And a lot of great comments there, too, and they've been going so fast I can't really read them. From Sandra, though, thank you to Stephanie. She's terrific. And I will say, actually, that Dave Williams, the new head of the Colorado Republican Party, was putting out emails about this all along. And he had also links on what you can do can respond. Because I think they're just going to be saying the Democrats, why didn't we think of this before?
Yeah.
We can roll.
Why do we play such softball before?
We're just gonna put this.
Why even have a democracy?
Well, why even have Republicans, right?
Well, see, they need Republicans like the Washington Generals Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals pretend they have something. They don't want to pretend that it's all rigged when it is. I mean, it's a rigged process.
Well, yeah. And then people, well, and again, and how many people pay attention to this, right?
Right.
And like she said, the other thing they're doing is they're screwing with the calendar. So if you want to go down to testify, you can't really tell when you should go down to testify.
That probably hurts Democrats as much as they don't care. They're count the votes.
That's right. Well, that goes back. It kind of ties back to what we were saying before Stephanie called in. We were having, the horrified Congress, the swamp is like horrified.
Somebody else could reach the public.
That China could take social media information and use it to spread propaganda.
Yeah.
We would never do that.
Yeah. The Daily Worker, which was published for God knows how many years. They can't do that.
And that's, you guys, what's going on with that. That's why they want to ban TikTok, because the swamp and the deep state cannot control TikTok.
Right.
So they want to ban it. They can control everything else. They can control, Elon Musk is fighting the brave fight, I think, so far. But Facebook, Google, we've seen it. Now you've got AI, right? There's new regulation that they're proposing regarding AI to make sure that it's inclusive and gender affirming and blah, 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 right? I mean, that's going to be a nightmare, And so Matt Taibbi, who's been doing a great job with the Twitter files, and he's a lefty, I think, himself. Right.
Yeah, he's a Democrat.
Yeah, but he's like what you used to think of as a Democrat, right?
Long time ago.
Where, like, you're opposed to war, you're for free speech, you're for challenging authority,
For civil liberties, you're not for the FBI destroying kids and families, you're for school boards, people didn't speak up against them.
Right.
And they weren't for raids on old people where they have all these, multi-assault guns, and they dragged the parents from the home in front of the kids. That didn't used to be where the Democrats, that was great.
So he's like an old school Democrat, but he was on with Maria Bartiromo and they were talking about this, and he kind of pointed all of this out. And so, Thomas, if we could please play the Taibbi soundbite.
Well, honestly, what it reminds me of is early 2017 when Google, Twitter, and Facebook were dragged to the hill by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. And, it was demanded of them that they come up with a plan to prevent the sowing of discord. Governments are always going to want these platforms to guarantee to them that they will have access to the content moderation machinery of these platforms. And TikTok is probably in the same position as those platforms were back in 2017. It's a very difficult question, speech-wise, like, what do you do about these platforms? So I'm not really sure how I feel about it. I think it would be a major unprecedented step to block it.
It would be an unprecedented step, but you also have these efforts by foreign adversaries to buy into U.S. media. Look, take Russia. We talked last week about the potential of an acquisition of Forbes Media. Now, I heard from one of those people, Shiv Kempka, who said, no, we are not attached to Vladimir Putin. And yet there are many people who feel that group wanting to take over Forbes Media is an issue. So what about that? I mean, the U.S. media companies are U.S. owned, with the exception of a TikTok or perhaps if we see a Forbes Media deal go through from a foreign adversary.
When you were talking.
I think the opinion of Americans historically has always been that our democracy is vibrant enough that we can withstand propaganda from other countries by simply having a better argument, making a better argument ourselves to our own population. That's the principle of free speech. If other governments want to try to propagandize our population, I doubt they're going to succeed, frankly, unless we do a very, very bad job of talking to our own people about what our goals are.
I mean, hello, Maria. Usually I like her, but she it's like, because they completely independent U.S. American media. I'm like, give me a break. They're, lock, stock, and barrel arms of the Democrat Party, right?
Well, Carlos Slim is a Mexican citizen who owns the majority of shares in New York Times.
Like the World Economic Forum isn't involved in all of that. It's just ridiculous.
Well, other people, are our citizens.
The adversary. It's like the foreign adversary adversaries, I think, are the least of our problem. It's the internal adversaries that we really need to be. I mean, again, and so here's what I think they're doing, though, because I think they also understand they can't ban TikTok, right?
They can.
So, they can ban it, but it'd be pretty hard to get it off everybody's phone, right? So I think.
Rest them all.
Well, what I think, you can have all these little 12-year-olds in concentration.
They're happy to do it.
Age spirit.
They can get gender-affirming care while incarcerated.
Exactly. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to use this to pressure, just like they did Twitter and Facebook, right? They said, you want us to keep having these hearings, or you want to give us a portal into your data, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to do. And TikTok, you know, they give it China. They don't care, right? You know, I don't suppose China's going to be that upset. If the American spy world wants to spy on its citizens and censor information and go after people based on their TikTok accounts, they don't care, right?
Well, you have to remember, and I thought Matt Taibbi did a great job. I mean, one of the things that marked an authoritarian, repressive regime is it would not allow other voices to come in.
Right.
For example, Soviet Union, and we had Radio Free Europe, where we would broadcast news to them. Now they go, oh my God, it's a foreign power. we thought, no. You know, if they wanted to broadcast radio to us, go ahead, do it.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Well, that is sort of the basis of the First Amendment, right? Of free speech. It's like, you present your side, I present my side, and hello, the citizens can decide. I mean, but here's the thing. They don't want us deciding anymore. They just want us to do what they tell us.
Foreign adversary could have some information that we don't approve of.
So,
like pointing how corrupt the FBI is. What about that?
My guess is that they're going to use this to pressure, just like they did, again, Twitter, just like they did Zuckerberg, just like they did Google.
Yeah, but now they're up against the CCP.
That's right. We'll see.
Is there a little tougher nut to crack?
Hey, listen, that's going to do it.
That's it for everybody.
I wanted to say thank you to Stephanie Luck. Catch all of the shows at chuckandjulie.com.
Or TikTok.
Oh, yeah, no. Rev has forbidden me to go on TikTok. Every so often he's like, that would just be too embarrassing, Mom. So I'm not on
TikTok. We need to get on TikTok.
Yeah, before they ban it. Hey, thank you to the great guys at BBS. Everybody on Zoom, we love and appreciate you so much. We'll
see
you on Wednesday.
Snow off your cars. Yeah. Okay, bye. Take care.
Have a great evening. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You guys too. Bye-bye.